Zach, tell me a little bit about this individual who claims that he took the shot from the grassy knoll.
Yes, this individual was a close confidant and driver and kind of gopher for an individual by the name of Charles Nicoletti. Charles Nicoletti was a sub-boss working for the Chicago mob. And basically his story starts in April of 1963, when he states that Chuck Nicoletti came from the house of Sam Giancana, house of Tony Accardo, where Sam Giancana, Tony Accardo, and Chuck Nicoletti met, and basically came to Files that evening and said, "We have a contract on the President of the United States." What's interesting about that particular time, it's the same time that another individual that we have, who was a CIA operative, received orders from his handler that he was to start making identifications for Lee Harvey Oswald. I've taken that from there, and when I started to contact these other retired FBI agents, I came across, I think, the biggest, which I would call probably the smoking gun of this whole case. And I would like to share that with you, George.
Please, go ahead.
The two agents that viewed the autopsy, as you know, the FBI did not have any jurisdiction over the investigation of the death of a president. All the jurisdiction lied within the city of Dallas.
Which truly was unbelievable, but you're absolutely right.
Now, when Air Force One left, headed back toward Washington to take the president to the Bethesda Hospital for the autopsy, these two agents received a phone call from headquarters and were told to report to Andrews Air Force Base and partake in the motorcade to Bethesda and also view the autopsy and uphold the FBI's interest. These are the only two agents, or let's say the only two individuals that night that took notes as to who was in and out of that room. I have filmed Agent Jim Seibert and have talked to Agent Francis O'Neill, both who viewed the autopsy. And what they have to say just totally blows the Warren Commission out of the water. For instance, and bear with me, I just got three paragraphs, and I think these three paragraphs will prove there was a conspiracy and a cover-up.
All right, by all means, go ahead.
During the latter stages of this autopsy, Dr. Humes located an opening which appeared to be a bullet hole, which was below the shoulders and 2 inches to the right of the middle line of the spinal column. That happens to be 5.5 inches below the neckline. This opening was probed by Dr. Humes with the finger, at which time it was determined that the trajectory of the missile entering at this point had entered at a downward position of 45 to 60 degrees. Further probing determined that the distance traveled by this missile was a short distance, inasmuch as the end of the opening could be felt with the finger. Inasmuch as no complete bullet of any size could be located in the brain area, and likewise no bullet could be located in the back or any other area of the body, as determined by total body x-rays and inspection revealing there was no point of exit, the individuals performing the autopsy were at a loss to explain why they could not find no bullets. What that means is that bullet that entered the back of President Kennedy did not exit the body. If you believe these two agents' testimony of their report, there cannot be a magic bullet.
Well, but if the bullet never exited the body and they x-rayed the president and couldn't find the bullet, what happened to it?
Well, this is an interesting question, because what happened is that Agent Seibert then went to the telephone and called the firearms unit of the FBI lab and told Agent Killian the problem they had in that they could not find an exit wound. And could he explain that? Is there such thing as an ice bullet? And he said, "Well, I think I have your answer. Agent from the Secret Service just walked in and handed me a bullet found on a stretcher at Parkland Hospital."
Right.
He went back and told Dr. Humes, and Dr. Humes said, "Well, I think that settles it. What must have happened is that the bullet fell out of the wound upon cardiac massage conducted by the doctors at Parkland Hospital." Now, whatever. The point I'm making is that that bullet did not exit the body. It's the only back wound, neck wound, whatever, on the back of Kennedy. And that coincides with the testimony that I heard this morning from Mrs. Conley, that a first shot occurred. She knew the president was shot. She turned around, and Conley turned around, and when he did, he was shot. This lady, who is probably the best witness you have, that was sitting right next to her husband, knows that there were two separate shots that hit, one shot to the president and another shot to Conley.